morning, and that question is, and I want you to mark the first thing that comes to your mind. You don't need to say it out loud, but I just want you to mark it. The question is, what are you known for? What are you known for? I just want you to mark that in your mind. And the reason I want you to mark that in the mind is because there's danger in the things that we're known for. Now, they aren't inherently dangerous, but here's the danger. The danger is that we would find our value in them. Now, our value comes from the Lord. You and I are created in the image of God. That's where our value comes from. But there's a danger because the enemy wants you to replace that. In the very beginning, when you had Adam and Eve who were created in the image of God, the enemy came to them and he didn't present them as the enemy. He presented himself as a friend. And he said, if you do this thing that God told you not to do, you're going to become like God. And so what he was doing without saying it is, he was asking them to replace God. Because he knew if they would replace God, they would actually lose their connection with the one who gave them value. The place that we find value is in our connection with the Lord, and that connection comes through Jesus. Even though you are created in the image of God, if you don't have that connection with Him, you're an image of Him, but you don't have that value if you are not connected. So what does that have to do with the things that we're known for? Well, just like Adam and Eve, the enemy wants us to replace God. He wants us to replace that connection where that value comes from. And so he wants us to find value in the things that we're known for. I mean, they can be good things, they can be bad things, they can be neutral things, whatever. He wants us to find value in them. What you're known for could be your looks. You know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, whatever. But you can begin to find value in it because people recognize it. People comment on it. And when you start to feel value for it, what happens is you start to pursue it. And so it's constantly on your mind. You know, maybe there's a certain thing about your looks that people recognize. And so, you know, you're always focused on it and you want to maintain it. I know this sounds silly, but seriously, this is where we go to. I mean, you know, it's good to take care of ourselves, to be healthy, all of those things. But guess what? We can become consumed with those things to the point that we aren't really hearing from God and we're not pursuing God because we're putting all this time and energy over to this here. Maybe it's a position. Maybe you hold some kind of position that people know you for. And it may not be that big in the world standing. It's just something that you're known for and you have a sense of a value for it. And so you begin to want to maintain that, you know, for a long time. You know, I mentioned this before, but when I was younger, my grandfather was known for being a hard worker. That's what he was known for. And so I remember when I was a young man, I was probably 14, and in the morning I was shoveling asphalt out on the roads, and then in the afternoon I was baling hay with the neighbors. And I remember we were throwing these square bales, and they were wet and heavy, and I was giving it all I had. And I remember somebody said to me, "You're just like your grandfather." And I mean, I can't tell you, I found value in that. Well, there was a danger in that. Because from that, I always want to be the guy that comes through. I want to be the one that you can depend on. Well, what if God's telling me to do this here, you're wanting me to do this here? Oh, conflict. Where do I find my value? Well, we're about to find out upon the decision I make. Do I do what God's calling me to, or do I do what you're calling me to? And maybe your voice seems a lot louder. I can see you in the physical form and so on. I can hear you audibly. And so maybe I'm drawn to you. Well, you might be in that same situation. You're serving others around you because of the things that they're saying to you, and you're not fully hearing the voice of God. Maybe the voice of God is becoming quieter and quieter because you keep listening to these other voices over here, and you keep serving these other voices. Maybe you're known for your family. You know, maybe you've got some kind of family. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know. But either way, maybe you find value in that. And so maybe you continue in your life wanting to maintain that family name because it's just kind of known. And you find value from, you know, maybe your parents and your other family members. And you want to continue. Maybe there's some kind of reputation there. But maybe God is calling you to something else, but you can't even hear it because over here is where you find your value. Whatever your struggle is, quite frankly, it doesn't matter, but I'm here to tell you, you have a struggle. You have a place where you find a certain amount of value. But here's what we can do with that. We can recognize it, okay? We can recognize it and we can really lay it before the Lord. And we can say, Lord, help me navigate this. Because, and here's the thing, this can be good things that God gives us. These are not necessarily bad things. They could be good things that God gives us, but they can become dangerous. I've shared this with you before, but I'll share it again because this is something I continually have to navigate. So I've been in this community over 20 years as a pastor. Well, about 10 years in as pastoring, I really felt the Lord say to me, you need to get outside these walls. I was hearing it. You need to get outside these walls. Not that I wouldn't continue to minister as I do, but I need to become a part of the community in other ways. Because there was a big part of the community that I didn't have contact with and so on. And so I was just open at that point. Well, as most of you know, I had an opportunity to go to work for the police department here. And so I did that. And God opened up all kinds of opportunities. But I got to tell you, I know I've shared this with you before, but maybe some of you don't know it. I get all kinds of notoriety for being a part of the police department, and I don't get that as being the pastor. Like, people who know I'm both, all they want to talk about is what I'm doing at the police department. Like, never, nobody ever comes up to me and is like, so, how are things going at the church? When I'm out in the community and I'm in plain clothes, people are like, are you off today? I'm like, hello, I'm a full-time pastor. No, I'm working today. But in their minds, it's like it just doesn't even connect. You know, when I'm walking around in uniform, sometimes I get nasty stuff. But a lot of times I get, you know, stay safe today and, you know, different things like that. I mean, nobody's telling me to stay safe when I'm fighting spiritual battles as a pastor, you know, going up against the demonic and whatnot. You're going up against the demonic in the other profession as well, too. But you see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, there's a struggle there, and I need to be careful. I need to be careful that I'm, again, God led me into that, but as I pursue it, I need to do it as the Lord leads me. And so the Lord is going to lead you down things sometimes, but here, there's always that thing of, I got to be careful. For instance, you think about King Saul. God was the one who called Saul to be king. It was a good thing. But what happened? Well, what happened was it became the place that he found value. He wasn't just a child of God whom God had called him to be king. He became, I'm the king. And so he started to go against God. When it came down to the fact that he was called to be king, and he was called to fight a war against someone, but he was told by God to wait until the prophet got there to make a sacrifice before he moved. But as he was waiting, the prophet wasn't getting there, things were going bad, and all of a sudden it's revealed where he found his value. And where he's found his value was the people. Because what he did was he stepped across the line and he went and offered the sacrifice in place of who God had called to do it. And so each one of us are going to face those things. Where are you facing that right now? Where are some places? And the thing is, maybe you're not even recognizing it because that voice is so loud about where you're finding your value that God's is getting quiet. Well, I hope right now that the voice of God begins to get louder. And the reason for it is this. This is where you are going to find your value. This is where you're going to find your fulfillment. It's in closeness with the Lord as you walk that out because you were created in the image of God. We're going to look in a scripture in just a little bit that talks about this, but you were created in the image of God. But here's the interesting thing. Early on, what are we told not to do in reference to God when it comes to an image? We're told not to make an image of God and to bow down to it. But here's the interesting thing. God has already given an image of Himself upon the earth. And guess what? We are it. Now, does that mean we worship ourselves? Absolutely not. We are but an image. We are not God ourselves, but we are the image of God. Can you see how that is valuable? But yet, because we're the image of God, we still need that constant connection. Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John how we can accomplish nothing unless we are connected with the vine, if we're not connected with Jesus. And so we are but an empty vessel without Him. And it's because of that that we have this drive inside of us that desires value. But I want you to hear this. It's actually not a bad thing. It's meant to drive you to the Lord because that's the only place that you're going to find value. But here's how the enemy perverts it. Because each of us have this desire for value, we want to go for the first thing that even feels like value. So anytime someone gives us attention for anything, I mean, I don't care what it is. It could be something bad, but we get attention for it. Well, guess what? We got acknowledged, you know? You're the kid in the classroom that the teacher keeps getting mad at, but you keep doing it over and over. Why do you do that? You're getting attention. You're actually feeling some value from it, even though it's negative attention. All of us have this. I know that we want to act like we don't, but we do. All of us have this. We want people to notice us. Now, I'm not saying that you want to be up in front of people and everybody, you know, seeing who you are. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, you want people to really notice the value in you, right? I mean, if you had good parents, they did that. But here's the thing, that's always meant to lead you to the Lord because He's the only one that can give ultimate value to you. That's why even if you have good parents, guess what? They get old, they pass on. Why did God design it that way? Well, of course, that's all part of the curse. But part of what God wants to do in the midst of that is lead you to Him. He is the one. It's in that connection of relationship. And here's what you need to know. God sees you right now. If you feel alone right now, I'm telling you, God sees you. Now, I can't fully see you, okay? I see a lot of images right now and faces, but I can't really see you right now. But you know what? God is not like me. God is able to see you right now. He's able to know your thoughts. He cares about it. He actually created you. You weren't just created like in a bundle, you know? All right, I'm going to create this bundle and, you know, there's this bundle of lookalikes or something like that. Like He created you individually. You are known to Him. He loves you and that is where you have your value. Now, what I'm telling you is you can tap into that and you can know that. And here's the beauty of that. When you really tap into that and you know God, you know Jesus, you hear His voice, what happens is you don't have to cater to the noise of the crowd anymore. When someone's wanting you to go over here and it's not the best, you don't have to say yes because you are feeling full and valued from the Lord. It's amazing. I know that because I walk in it at moments. But then I have moments where I don't. And that's why I have to continually pursue my connection with the Lord on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. because my flesh is constantly tempted to do the opposite. And then here's the thing. Even the good things that God has called me to do, I can actually do them better when I'm feeling fulfilled and valued from the Lord. Because I'm not trying to use, you know, the position or the relationship to try and feel value. I can genuinely serve people instead of trying to get you to say good things about me. See what I'm saying? Because we all like that. Even though, you know, it's a little embarrassing. Like Kathy's saying something, you know? It's a little embarrassing. I mean, you know, there's part of me that's like, oh, you know, don't say that. But yet, does that make you feel valued? Yes, you do. Because this morning, like as I'm getting ready, I don't know why this came to me. It just came to me. I just had a question for the Lord. I'm like, Lord, is what I'm doing really matter? It just came out of me. And it's like when you see little bits of that that says, yes, it does, it blesses you. We all want that. But you know what? I can't begin to live my life for those things. Because sometimes people get mad at me for following the Lord and doing what the Lord says. Like they get really mad at me. So if I start trying to do everything I can to just get the praises of the people, I'm no longer serving the Lord. I'm no longer connected to the Lord. Instead, I'm serving others. And all of us can fall into that place. All right, the scripture I'm going to look at is 1 John. And it says verse 18. I think I'm actually going to jump into verse 20 and focus on that. 1 John. Verse 20. I was going to read 18 to give some context, but I really just want to focus on this. Verse 20 says this, "And we know that the Son of God has come, and He has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and He is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." Now, some of your versions will use the word idols. It's the same thing because that's what an idol is. An idol is you taking something and replacing God for it, calling it God, and what it does is it takes the position of God in your heart. But here's the thing. I'm so glad that they change it in this version that I just read because in our culture, that doesn't really speak to us. Now, if you've been to other cultures, there are other cultures right now that they make images and they bow down to them. And there's some of that in our culture, but it's not overly pervasive. But here's the point. It's about replacing God in your heart because many of us see ourselves as too enlightened to do that. I mean, what we're doing in our culture is we are worshiping ourselves, right? Instead of worshiping an image. The image we are worshiping is ourselves. And even though we're created in God's image, that is still replacing God because we're not God. We're created in His image and we still need Him to fill Him. But there are so many things that we can replace Him with. And one of those things is intelligence. We can replace God with intelligence. That's another thing that we can be known for is our intelligence. You know, and one of the things, you know, as I was talking to Eli, and Eli is, you know, looking about going into ministry and so on, and right now he has an opportunity to be mentored by a veteran pastor just down the road here that I really, I just really esteem. He is a down-to-earth guy, but yet, here's the thing, he knows God. And that's what our passage just talked about, knowing God. But here's the thing, you can study the scriptures and think you know about God, think you understand God, and not know God. You know, I can try and study you from a distance to try and understand you so that I can manipulate you to get my way without knowing you. To know you is totally different than to understand. I can know you without fully understanding you, okay? I love my wife, and I would like to say that, but I don't fully understand her, okay? I don't fully understand because she's beyond. Thank you. That is the way I wanted to phrase it. I was searching. But seriously, but I want to know her more and more. But you know what? I've come to understand I don't have to fully understand her to know her heart. And why am I saying this? Because this is one of the things that trips us up. We are so engrossed in understanding everything. There's nothing wrong with pursuing knowledge, okay? But when it comes to the Lord, especially when you look at the people that Jesus encountered, he said to them, you study the scriptures because in them you think you find eternal life. But here I am standing before you as God and you don't recognize me. What had happened there? They were using the scriptures to try and understand God because their goal, without them even understanding it, was to manipulate him. What they were doing was they were replacing God with themselves. They were replacing God with their intellect. And so going back to Eli, that was one of my encouragements to him that you have to guard yourself against, because I found myself falling into that. When I was in Bible college, when I'm in seminary, you know, you're sitting there and you're learning all these new theories and you're having thoughts about God that other people haven't even had, and you're using these words that are like really long. And when you share that with people, you think you're impressing them. And as you think you're impressing them, you're kind of feeling some value. And so you just want to keep on doing that. And so the temptation is to create God as some far-off being that you peasants can't understand, and you need to come through me. All right, you're laughing because you know that's a total joke, okay? But seriously, that's what we can get drawn into. You know, I've got this elite knowledge about God that you can't possibly understand. And to promote that, I'm going to use words that you've never heard before to try and confuse you so that you'll just keep coming to me. Now, why am I doing that? Because it makes me feel valued. But what's the problem? The problem is that Jesus made it so that you could go directly to God. And you could have a relationship with him. And you don't need me. You don't need me. God wants to use me right now. I'm still breathing. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. But no one needs us for a direct line to God. They can go directly to him. But you see how tricky the enemy can be. He can use not only our intellect, but he can use me and my study of Scripture to actually replace God with something that is not God. I mean, the word is truth, and we need to hold this word up. But as I've talked about before, there's some circles where they worship the scripture without worshiping God. Well, how can you do that? Well, that's the very thing, again, that Jesus accused the religious leaders of doing. You can do that. What's our goal got to be? Our goal has to be to know the Lord. Because here's the beauty of it. When we know him, what happens is we're always seen by him, but what happens is we feel his eyes upon us and we feel that value. And again, it just protects us from so much. It protects us from pursuing value in other areas, and we're actually able to serve in the areas that we are called to. So let's go back to the beginning. In your mind, what are you known for? Has that become a place where you find value? Because what you're known for may not be bad. It may be a very gift of God. But are you finding value in it? Well, how do you know? Are there times where you sense the Lord calling you to something and you say no, not because he's calling you here, but because this is where you feel your value? And you just don't want to let go of it. Because I know I've felt that at times. I've felt God pulling me away and I'm like, no, God, that's where I find my value. That's what I'm known for. You know, again, I've shared with you before, but when we lived on, when we lived in Colorado with our first ministry, like some of you wouldn't care about that, but I did. I was known as a dude who lived on a ranch in Colorado. I felt value from that. Why? Because I love everything cowboy, okay? I just do. And so to be known as a guy who lives on a ranch in Colorado, that was awesome. But then the Lord called me out of it. Now, it wasn't too bad. He called me to Texas, okay? And so I'm still known as a Texan. That's good. But then, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm called to Illinois, and I'm called to a town. And I'm like, God, that's not who I am. That's not who I'm known for, okay? I tried parking the horse trailer, you know, in the lot at the parsonage, but it just, you know, it didn't have the same effect. I mean, it's the whole reason I got Longhorns, right? It's an identity thing. I want to be known as something. Seriously, it can turn into that. I mean, I've shared with you about the truck long ago and how God had to go through a lesson. I share this with you to share the what can sometimes seem silly inside of my own heart because I know that you go through it. And I just want you to know that there's danger in the blessings that God gives. And I want to protect you because maybe you won't even have to go through some of the hard lessons I've had to go through where he's had to pull me away from the things that he actually gave me. But because I found identity in them and value, I wasn't finding him. He had to pull me away from them until I got to the place where it's like, okay, God, I'm only finding value in you. And then guess what? He gives them back. Why does he do that? Because he's mean? No. Because that's where we find our fulfillment. He does it because he loves me. He's seeing me pursue this thing that is not going to give me fulfillment. It's going to end badly, and it's going to take me further and further away from him. So out of his love, he provides discipline. Is there a place that God's doing that with you right now? I'm sharing this to encourage you to fully lay it down. And one of the ways that's helpful is confession, just like I'm doing up here. As I confess these things to you, it brings them to light and it helps me to walk it out and to recognize it. So you don't have to stand up here like me, but maybe there are some people in your life that you trust. I just want to encourage you to speak it out. And again, it's not saying it's anything bad. It could be something good, something the Lord's given you, but you're just acknowledging this could be a place I start to find value and I need to be careful. I want you to walk with me through this. God is the only one who can be God. He's the only one. He's the only one who can give you the fulfillment that you crave, that you were created for. The Lord wants to point the things out where the enemy's trying to give you counterfeits so that you can have the real thing. Lord, thank you that again, you